Good. I hope this scripture lesson does the same, keeps us going. Our second scripture lesson this morning is John 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going to go fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. He jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning and coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Sorry, I have a stubborn page there. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who was leaned back against Jesus at supper. And he said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. So this just, as John tells us, the third time that Jesus has appeared to his disciples. Remember last week's lesson, it was a story of Thomas. The disciples were behind locked doors and Jesus came to them. He wished them peace, gave them a hope for the future. He showed them his nail-scarred hands and his side. The fear and the sorrow that they were feeling was replaced by hope and faith in the disciples. Jesus truly was alive. We commented last week that one of the effects of Jesus' appearances was to get them from behind locked doors, to release them from the fear that they were feeling. And as we join the disciples this morning, at least they're out of the house. They're not behind locked doors anymore, are they? But they are still in the dark. Literally, they're in the dark. They're fishing at night. Seven of the disciples decided to do a little night fishing. No one would see them, and perhaps they could make a catch to help them eat and maybe feed their families, because it seemed like they were unemployed now. Their employment as disciples seems to be over. They fished all night and they didn't catch anything. But just as the sun was coming up over the surrounding hills, they spotted someone on the shore. The risen Christ was on the shore, and he shouted to them, "Haven't caught anything, have you?" They didn't recognize Jesus, but they answered him, "No." Jesus said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." They did as he instructed, and he filled the net so full that they could not haul it back into the boat. Now John, the disciple that Jesus loved, seeing the miraculous catch, became suspicious, and he took another look at the stranger on the beach, and he turned to Peter and said, "It's the Lord." So Peter became so excited that he threw on his shirt and dived into the water and swam to the shore. Now the others guided the boat into the shore and followed Peter. Now it's clear from John's description that even though they thought it was Jesus, they were not 100% certain. So Peter laid hold of the net and began to drag the fish into the shore. The rest of them must have stared at Jesus wondering. But there was a fire laid, and there were some fish already cooking along with some bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've caught and come have breakfast." Now Simon Peter counted the fish in the net and found a whopping 153. Jesus served the disciples, and they ate breakfast there on the shore. Now John is very, very specific in this story. Very specific about every aspect of it. The disciples were in the dark. Yet Jesus was on the shore and he built a fire. They came to Jesus and he fed them breakfast. He served the disciples. Now, there's a tradition about this particular story in the scripture. It's a tradition that goes back thousands of years, actually. Many of the old scholars interpreted this scripture lesson as an allegory. That this lesson was supposed to tell more by the symbolic elements in it than the actual story itself. Now, a lot of modern preachers, myself included, shy away from this interpreting scripture as allegory. They're just, if you're a Bible scholar and you study these things, you have a little bit of skepticism about interpreting scripture that way. But think about the many elements in this lesson that seem to support an allegorical interpretation. There were seven disciples. Jesus has been urging them by his appearances to get out from behind the locked doors. And here they are. They've come out timidly and they're in the dark. There are seven of the disciples. There weren't the 11 that were left after Judas had hung himself. There were seven here. Seven in the Bible is the number of fullness, of completeness. There are 7 days in a week, for example. It is a complete week. They are a complete group. The seven disciples initially did not recognize Jesus or the significance of the resurrection. They trolled around the darkness on the sea, and the sea also is a symbolic element in this story. The sea represents the dark forces of the earth. The sea covered the abyss, and in those ancient days, it was thought that the abyss would swallow people up, that not only would you drown in the water, but you would, your soul and everything that is you would be sucked down into a neverland, so to speak. So there was a darkness in the abyss. And during the dark night, these disciples were on that little boat in over the abyss. They drew near to a certain shore. There was an unseen force that pulled them to a certain place upon the shore. And when dawn came and the light began to shine, take note, they had been in darkness, but now the light is beginning to shine, the light of morning. And Jesus calls out to them. And when they suspected it was the Lord, Peter, the one who had denied Jesus three times, as we've talked about with the children, even though he still felt the pangs of his denial, he put a shirt on. Why did he put a shirt on? To jump in the water. Think about it. Do you throw a shirt on before you jump in the water? Not normally. There's a significance to this. Peter was covering himself. Did Peter know he would be forgiven? No. Even though Jesus had appeared to him two other times, Peter was still in the dark. He's still not sure. Am I forgiven? I denied him three times. I even cursed the last time I denied him. Yet somehow he rushed to Jesus. Somehow he knew that Jesus would greet him with love. And Jesus knew. He knew the sorrow that Peter and the other disciples had to be feeling. Remember, they're unemployed. Remember, we're talking about they're no longer followers of Jesus, are they? There is no Jesus to follow in their minds. And, of course, Jesus understood that. He knew their plight. He knew the fruitlessness of the night they had just been through. But he told them, remember, he's going to make them fishers of men. And it was time to demonstrate just what he meant. He told them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat and they would catch a large amount. And indeed, there was a large catch. John tells us there were 153 different kinds of fish in that net. Why so specific? 153. Some church commentators believe that that was the number of nations in the known world at that time. That's one of the speculations about why John is so specific. 153. All were caught in a net that would not break. 153 would gather in a church big enough and strong enough to hold them all. 153. Then the risen Christ gathers, remember, with the sun rising, the light flooding across the land, the light perhaps flooding across the hearts of the disciples. What does Jesus do? He's preparing them food. He's getting ready to feed their souls. On Easter Sunday, we did that very thing here. We celebrated that Lord's Supper. Jesus again fed us. But before the meal, there was some business to take care of. He says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Of course, his first answer, Peter says, "Sure, yeah, I love you." How many of us would respond the same way? Then the second time, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Oh, yeah, Jesus, I love you. I just said I did, you know? And finally, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he gets it. Peter gets it here. He says, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. As I told the children, Jesus is giving Peter an opportunity to reaffirm his love for Jesus, even though he's denied him three times. Jesus is also letting him know that he's forgiven three times over. And he's, and while at the same time telling him, I got a job for you to do. You're forgiven. Let's clean the slate because you have got a job to do. Go ye therefore, at the end of Matthew's gospel, go ye therefore to all the nations, all of the 153 that we know of, go to them and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the allegorical interpretation here. But however you interpret it, it's still, the story is just the same. It has the same meaning for you and for me today. It's a story for us. How many of us can say that we never denied Jesus, that we never even intentionally sinned in this world? All of us have sinned knowing that we were doing something wrong. And what does Jesus say? Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Do you really love me? And feed my sheep. You know, we in the mainline churches have been trolling around in the darkness of this modern society for a long time now. We've not been very fruitful in our catch, have we? But Jesus is standing on the shore saying, hey, do you love me? Throw the net on the right side and let's get to work on building the church. That's what this means for us today. And what does Jesus promise? He says, I'll be here. I'll be on the beach. I will break the bread with you. I will supply the sustenance for your soul along the way. All you have to do is go feed my sheep. We've not been very fruitful in the church. Maybe it's time to meet Jesus on the beach and get to work feeding his sheep. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for the different ways that you speak to us through the scripture, through our life experiences, through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives. May today's lesson sink in. May we truly commune with you, and for every wrong that we have committed, may we reaffirm our dedication to you and our gratitude for your grace and love and forgiveness. And most of all, make us good caretakers of the sheep. Help us to go out as you would leave the 99 and find the one who's lost and bring them home. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.